Father, release your grace. Place your Holy Spirit upon those words. Bring forth what you need from this young man. And bring forth all the things that you've prepared in his heart that are of you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go for it.
Gail, I have a question. Have you heard anything more on Van?
Nothing more came up on Facebook.
All right.
It came up at 7:30 last night. What I saw is, I'm in surgery, and I'm waiting for the liver, and the inference was, he's not sure this one's going to work, and that's it. Nothing more has come up.
All right.
He did come into my heart today a couple times. I just interested.
It's strange that nothing more has come up, so I don't know.
Maybe nothing more is needed at this point.
Whether it worked or not.
Well, we won't know immediately.
So. Well, he knew the other one when it didn't work. Because he immediately posted that, so it maybe this one worked.
Okay, well, time will tell. We can only pray for the best.
Amen.
So, Lord, I'm asking that your hand be on our brother and that your will be done in this situation, because we already know that he has placed his trust in you, irregardless of what the outcome is, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, as usual, I was informed about a week ago that I'd be speaking, and proceeded to go forward in what I felt was the direction that the Lord was leading me in. Had a wonderful time in the car today preaching, to have it all thrown down the toilet and rearranged. As soon as I walked through the door, I said, this is not fun for me, but that's okay. I have a question that I'd like to ask you. How big is your God? Now, don't answer it out loud, because I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I'm just curious as to how big to you your God is. And I say your God because we know that the Father is God. We know Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But each individual, depending upon the circumstances within their lives, at that given moment, how big is God for you? First one will be Philippians 4:19. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'm going to read through them pretty quick. But 4:19, most of us have that right to memory. There it is. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, or the Anointed One Jesus. I am going to ask, does anybody here have the Amplified, Gail?
No.
I'm sorry, I should have asked you to turn it, because I would like...
When you said you don't want to turn it.
I know, I thought about it as I was saying it, and I'm going to have fun here. And
oh, my goodness.
My apologies, I didn't mean to do that to you.
Philippians
4:19.
And my God will liberally supply... Fill to the full your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Liberally. I don't know if that means pretty freely as far as I'm concerned. The next one will be Psalm 23, verse 1. This one, of course, has always been on most people's heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Okay, I'm sure that the Amplified probably reads the same way. I think it's fair. It doesn't? All right, go ahead.
The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack.
Very good. So we're building us, I would say, a fairly decent picture of God. So far, it seems like God is going to be a supplier. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. JP, where is it? 9? Come on down. I'm not sure how far I'll be reading on this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Okay, very quickly, I would like to stop there. Most people that I know that would read that would immediately think that they're going to become rich and they're going to make Donald Trump look like he's a pauper. And they wait for that. Now, did that say that we would become instantly rich monetarily?
No.
Now, when God deals with us, where does he start? The heart. Exactly. Spiritually, we start to get rich and we start giving out. As we prove ourselves, things will come to us. I just want it known that I am not sitting here preaching money and that we're all going to get rich on money. God does that. Bless God. But I don't know about you, but if I came into a lump sum, I don't think I could handle it properly. And that's just me. Now that I've said that, what is the picture that we have of God? Does it seem that with those three scriptures, that God pretty much will fulfill just about every need that could come up in our lives? Health, food, clothing, shelter, as well as our finances. So now I ask you, how big is your God? Now, the schools teach Big Bang Theory, and I kind of agree, and let me explain why. You go back to Genesis 1:1, you know, and what does it say? It talks about the creation. Then it came to, and in the Hebrew, God said, light be, light was. And I believe it was light be, bang, there it was. Light moves at 186,000 miles per second. The scientists say that the entire universe is still expanding. When God said that, did he ever say stop? Now, let me ask you something. If the universe is expanding at 186,000 miles per second in all directions, and from what we've been taught, heaven encompasses it, which means that heaven is expanding at the same rate. God is sitting on the throne. How big is God? Can't comprehend it. Well, I was looking around here. When something happens, and I use Jesus as an example, do you see the man sitting over there looking over Jerusalem when you have a problem? Do you see a cross? Do you see the Lion of Judah coming forth to protect you? Or one of my favorites. Do we see the little lamb? We're laughing. But how many times have we seen this? It's cute. It's wonderful. But is it going to stand up to you have cancer? Excuse me, if you don't pay the bill, we're cutting off your heat. All of a sudden, what happens to us? And anyone who's never been in that position, you know, I know that most people have, at least once in their life. You know, you look at the problem, and all of a sudden, the one you're sitting down, you've given your life to, and you're in here, and you're praising and worshiping God, the Lion of Judah. Yes, let's go, Lord. When the problem hits, this is what we see. All of a sudden, the problem is bigger. Now, when we have a situation come up, there's several things that I've heard happen. And one of them is really, it touches my heart, because when was it, day before yesterday I went over there? Or yes, or was it yes, or Sunday? Well, I went over to this person's house who I check on every now and then. And she is slumped over, real weak. And she says to me, "Pete, I can't take this anymore. God's got to do something. I am fed up with this. This is a bunch of bull." Then going on and on and on. And inside of me, I can feel myself going down and down and down. Then the infamous says, "What's your opinion?" And I said, "My opinion is you need to close your mouth." And that's it in a nutshell. That really is my opinion. When the bill hits, or whatever hits, the calamity in our life, what's the first thing that we do? I've heard it said, when the bill hits, "Lord, I'm a tither. You say that you're going to take care of all my needs. What's going on here? Either you got to take care of this, or I'm not going to tithe anymore." Well, excuse me, throw a tantrum. Did that get God's attention? When your kids threw a tantrum with you, those of you that have children, did it get your attention? No, you still punished them. Now, what do you think is going to get God's attention? That or this here? I'm going to use an example of, we'll use finances. You go home, open up a bill, and it's a bill you were not expecting. It's one that you forgot about. And went, "Oh boy, there it is." Now it's a choice between the rent, eating, or this. And you're sitting there. Now what do? Get on the phone. "Pastor Kim, I need prayer." "Oh boy, and here it is. Lay it out." Or, you might call Gail or Peggy. It depends who you're friends with. Now, what about if you did this and said, "Lord, here's the bill. There's the finances. Here's what I have. It's nothing. Now, you are bigger than that bill. You are bigger than anything that I have. What I have is nothing. I have some ideas, but I'm not going to go with those ideas. Right now, I want to thank you for the time that you brought food to my house when I did not have food. When I was running low on oil, someone paid for my oil. I still to this day don't know who it was. I want to thank you when my car was destroyed that my father gave me his car free of charge. I want to thank you for the times that I was ill and that you miraculously healed me." If we have those times, how many times have you gotten a little bit of a sickness and it was like within hours it's gone? People never even stop to think that everyone else got sick, but we didn't. Does anyone ever stop to say, "Thank you, Father"? Very seldom. We go, "Oh man, were we lucky we dodged that one." But you sit there and you start thanking him and praising him for what you know. And even thanking him, I remember when Dee testified that she had money come in. "Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for what Kim had said. Thank you for what Dr. Bob had encouraged at one point." And you're going on in this area. What are you doing? You're taking this bill. You're making it smaller. You're putting God in charge and in making God the focus instead of the bill. Instead of, "Hey, we don't have enough food and the in-laws are coming. This is going to be wonderful. Hadn't been here in 10 years. Now they're going to show up." And what are you doing? I mean, Mary can tell you there were times that we had people come out. Remember when Ray and Dorcas came out to visit at the Cape? We had $30 to our name. They were coming out for the weekend. They had two children. That $30 continuously fed myself, my pregnant wife, his two kids, him and his wife. And we had food and money left over. Remembering those times and thanking him for that. Make God bigger than the problem. Now, how big is your God? Which prayer do you do you make when it happens? 9 times out of 10, I'm the one calling Kim. And I don't mind doing it. He's someone good to listen to. But, again, I keep on asking myself just how big. I mean, do I actually see the cute little lamb, or do I see the lion? And not only do we think about that, but who's backing up the lion? The father. Can you see this situation? Can I pick on you, Gail? Great. Gail comes home. Now, you got to picture this. God's on the throne. Jesus is to the right side, right? Gail comes home, and something happens where she hits, I don't know, we'll just say she's out of food. And her husband wants to know why there's no food in the house, and what had happened is the refrigerator had broke, and it's spoiled. Now, her thing is like, my God, the refrigerator's off, and then he goes, you're kidding me. What could have happened? And now you see the scenario playing out. Now, do you think God is sitting up there going, hey, Jesus, did you see that? Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Did you see what hit Gail? Why, no, Dad, what's up, man? I don't know. We got to come up with something quick before she prays. Do you see that playing out? Do you see that? Or do you see, let's see what she does. God, I dare to say, is big enough. You know, what does the word say? He knew us before the creation of the world. If that's the case, before anything happened with Gail's refrigerator, and God freaking out, right? No. He knows every single decision that we are capable of making. And he knows the outcome of every single decision, and he's made a plan for every single decision. He will not override our will. We can make, and we have made, some real interesting decisions, haven't we? When we do it right, it's an easier walk. When we do blow it, is God panicked? No, he already has the way out, if we are willing to listen. Now, you multiply that times the amount of people in here, the amount of people in the world, and the amount of people, even to this day, that are being formed in the womb. How big is our God? What problem do we have that he does not have the solution for? Why are we losing sleep at night? I mean, Mary, does he have the solution for your mother? Does he have a solution for my mother? Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Does he have the solution for D?
Yes, he does. I call those things that be not as though they were.
Very good. You also recall that there is yes and amen.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So where do we go from there? What is it that we need that he cannot provide? Where are we stopped? She's over there and she's smiling. She's all happy. Oh, boy, am I glad to see that. Yeah, you. The question I have is, again, is how big is your God? Is there anything that God cannot provide? I mean, just look back at the history. The Red Sea being parted for Moses and the Israelites. He was with Samuel. He was with Ezekiel. He was with David, he was with Elisha, he was with Jesus, he was with the apostles. Do you think he has answers in time for Kim, Dr. Bob, Pete, Gail, Linda? I don't know your name.
Pauline.
You know, I've heard people say, and what people live by, the fact that God is not interested in my day-to-day. Well, if he's not interested in your day-to-day, he's not interested in you. And that's a lie. He cares more about our day-to-day than our crises and our victories. He cares more about the fact that when we go outside and we stumble and we're going out for a walk, and Mary did it, she goes, ooh, I missed it. I don't know how I missed it, but $5, Pete. Thank you, Father. And that's just what she did. That meant more to him than if she had won a million souls, because she took the time to say thank you for something so minor most people would overlook. And that is about the end of what I have to say. Is there any, in that case, I guess Jessica's not here, but if you hear this, Jessica, share some hugs and have a little bit of fellowship.
Teasing aside, it's wonderful to watch the power of the Lord being expounded in the small ways. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times that God has come through and you don't dare tell anybody because everybody's going to think you're an absolute nut. And I can remember, you know, being right on the edge of trying to figure out what is next. And all of a sudden, God would just miraculously do something very, very simple. Something so ordinary for some people. But it was extraordinary for me.
Absolutely.
And those little things that he did made it possible to just put one more foot forward. That's just one more foot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's all you need to do. I mean, you can't do more than that. A friend of mine had surgery, and I went to see that person, and by the way, he's home from the hospital now. He had double bypass surgery. That's a first report. I haven't had a chance to go back to see him, but my wife and his wife got to communicate, and it was just a week before the wedding, so obviously there was a lot of prep time and a lot of circumstances with Mom, but I did get a chance to skip up. And, you know, that little visit that I went there to visit with him was meaningful to him because most of his friends didn't show. So you don't know what you're going to do by just a little tiny visit in a time of need. You could be the hand of the Lord, the smile of the Lord, the recovery process of the Lord. And I sat with him and I said to him, I remember when the knee surgery was completed, that was the beginning of the test. The beginning of the test is never like the end, because the end can be far off. And so just bow your heads right now. Say, Lord Jesus, whatever I fear,
Jesus, whatever I fear,
let it not hinder me from looking at how big you are.
Let it not hinder me from looking at how big you are.
And how capable you are.
And how capable you are.
And the power that you have.
And the power that you have.
Is so much greater.
Is so much greater.
Than I could conceive.
Than I could conceive.
All power is given unto me.
All power is given unto me.
In heaven.
In heaven.
And in earth.
And in earth.
Matthew 26:18.
Matthew 26:18.
I read these to somebody earlier, so I'm going to give them all to you. God is my strength and power.
God is my strength and power.
2 Samuel 22:33.
2 Samuel 22:33.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Ephesians 6:10.
Ephesians 6:10.
And there's one more. Down here somewhere. Are you ready? Great is our Lord and of great power. Try it on.
Great is our Lord and of great power.
Look at somebody. Say, great is my Lord.
Great is my Lord.
And of great power.
And of great power.
Psalms 147:5.
Psalms 147:5.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.